The mortgage crisis has forced many people to give up homes they could no longer afford. Among the many victims of the mortgage crisis are pets who have been left homeless after their owners were forced out by foreclosures. My guest, Stephanie Shane, is the Humane Society of the United States Director of Outreach for Companion Animals. She directs programs that promote adoption and responsible pet keeping, and also directs the Pet for Life program that helps to keep pets and their people together. The Humane Society has been posting advice on its website for those caught in the economic downturn who are unable to afford to keep or take care of their pets. Shane recently adopted two dogs who were given up as a result of the financial crisis. Stephanie Shane, welcome to Fresh Air. So what are the signs that some pets are being abandoned as a result of the mortgage crisis?
We started to get concerned at the Humane Society of the United States nationally about 4 or 5 months ago, when we heard an increase in foreclosures. And we know from our history working with animal shelters in the country that animals are sometimes abandoned by people who are forced to move, whether it's out of a foreclosed property or simply just out of an apartment. Our effort was trying to prevent this from happening, to get the word out to people that if you are facing a situation that does not allow you to take your animal with you, and if you are not able to find a new home for that animal, to please bring them to an animal shelter rather than leave them in the home that you're leaving. Far too often, animals who are left or abandoned in homes are not discovered until it's too late, until they've died or they're in such a state of distressed health that once they are discovered, they're not able to be saved. So our original concern really was trying to prevent this kind of suffering, to reach out to folks and get them to do the responsible thing for their animal if they weren't able to keep them. What we've seen over the past 5 to 6 months is that the situation is much more dire for animals, and it extends well beyond the foreclosure issue. It really is something that is touching people who are affected by the economic downturn. So people who may not be losing their homes, but whose budgets are suddenly much more tight than they were 6 months, 9 months ago. And the animals, unfortunately, are bearing the brunt of that tightening.
You know, I know some people really believe that it's better for the pet not to take them to a shelter because they might be killed at the shelter if they're not quickly adopted. And some people think that it's just like more liberating for the animal to like leave them in the old home that they're abandoning, you know, that the owner's abandoning, or to take them to a large park and you know, quote, set them free there, mm-hmm. rather than take them to a shelter where they might be put to death. What do you think of that logic?
Well, I think, you know, you can empathize certainly with people who, for whatever reason, aren't able to keep their animal and are afraid to have them euthanized. However, I think it really is a situation of putting themselves in that animal's position. It's tragic anytime an animal is euthanized in a shelter, absolutely. But it is far better, if that animal is going to die, to do so humanely at a shelter than to starve to death in a home where that animal's last days will be absolutely panic-filled. When we find an animal who's been abandoned in a home or an apartment, You can tell the signs of that dwelling show this animal's panic. You can see attempts to escape, whether it's scratching on the door or around windows. Animals have been found with wallboard or carpeting in their stomach, that they're starving and are trying to eat something. So it's a real tragic, scary end for that animal. Likewise, when they're, quote, as you mentioned, set free, that people have this thought that somehow they can sort of revert back to being wild creatures, or that someone might find them and take care of them. And certainly there are good Samaritans out there who would do what they can or would call their local animal control agency to help an animal who was astray in a park or wherever. But it's a very risky situation to put an animal in. It's horrible to see a dog who has been hit by a car or a cat who has been attacked by a wild animal or a dog who's allowed off leash. So it's a very risky thing to let that animal go and hope that things turn out better. And we obviously, if people are concerned about having their animal go to a shelter, they can take steps to try to find a home for that animal themselves. We offer tips on our website, humanesociety.org, for finding a responsible home for your pet. But we absolutely recommend that if you can't do that, the local animal shelter is the best place to take your pet, because they will do their best to try to find a new home for that animal. And some people can find themselves, if they have a purebred animal, that they may be able to work with Breed Rescue, which usually has a foster home network. So that would be an option for them as well.
My guest is Stephanie Shane, the Humane Society of the United States Director of Outreach for Companion Animals. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're talking about how the mortgage crisis has left a lot of pets homeless. My guest, Stephanie Shane, is the Humane Society of the United States Director of Outreach for Companion Animals. Are animal shelters filling up in areas that have been particularly hard hit by the mortgage crisis?
We are hearing from shelters in different parts of the country that they are seeing an increase both in the number of animals coming through their doors, being relinquished by people, as well as the requests from families who are seeking assistance. So someone who is really trying hard to keep that animal with the family, but may need assistance like free pet food or assistance with veterinary care.
How much of a backstory do shelters usually have on the animals that are brought to them? Do shelters know when an animal is being brought there because the owner's home has been foreclosed on?
Oh, that's a great question. And different shelters handle categorizing animals differently, but most shelters are going to find out some basic information about those animals, certainly why the animal is being brought in. So if it's for a foreclosure specifically, they may have more general information that it's for a financial reason, or that the family is simply moving. And your question raises another really good point for people who are giving up their animals, and that is when you take your animal to a shelter, you can provide really valuable information that helps the shelter find that animal the best home. So letting the shelter know what your animal's history has been, what his or her living conditions are like, if they're used to being with cats or children or things like that, it helps the shelter find the best home for that animal. So it's another reason why to bring your animal to a shelter.
Now, you've actually rescued a couple of dogs yourself whose owners gave them up because the owners' homes were foreclosed on. Tell us the story behind the two dogs you recently adopted.
Sure. We adopted Panda about a little over a year ago, and he was brought in. He was one of three dogs. He's a large dog, about 70 pounds, and he was brought in with two other dogs to our local animal shelter here in Washington, D.C., and his family had to move. They were losing their home, had to move into an apartment, and couldn't take these three big dogs with them. We added him to our home, and he has been, you know, just a fantastic dog. We knew the shelter was able to tell us that he had lived with children, and he was a very great, mellow, easygoing dog. But we have small children in our home, so it was helpful to know that he had been around kids and was very comfortable with children. Then about 6 months later, we were looking at the website of our local animal shelter, and my daughter noticed that his sister, who we had seen when we adopted him, had been returned to the shelter. And unbelievably, the family who adopted her found themselves in an unexpected financial crisis and returned her to the shelter because they had to move into a smaller apartment that did not allow a dog of her size. Again, she's a large dog as well. So we added her to our family. So she lost two homes because of housing situations that people couldn't bring the dogs with them.
Was the second dog you adopted more distrustful or more skeptical that you'd be giving him a permanent home because he'd been given up twice?
She was definitely more wary, I think. You know, it took her longer to calm down. It's hard to say why, you know, she was like that, if that was just how she was or if it was because she had been through so many homes. You know, she had been in her home and then at the shelter, and they had placed her in foster care. Then she was adopted, then back at the shelter, then back in foster care. So she had been through a lot in a very short amount of time. You know, only in about 6 months, she had been in a lot of different situations. So she was a little bit more wary and took her longer to relax. But within a couple of months, she was, you know, she knows she owns the place now. And so she's great. And it was great to be able to reunite she and her brother. But certainly, you know, you can put dogs together that don't have histories together, and they can be the best of friends as well.
Do you think your two dogs know that they're siblings?
I think they know that they knew each other. I don't know if they recognize as sort of a family member if they know they're siblings, but I believe they definitely recognized each other. When we first brought her over to our house to meet him, he was thrilled. He was absolutely thrilled to see her. And, you know, they took a quick sniff of each other and went right into running around the yard.
And just one more thing. If you want to help people who are having trouble with their pets or help shelters who are supporting a lot of pets now, what are some of the things you can do?
Couple of things you can do. Number one, contact your local animal shelter. See if they have specific needs that can help them. It's not always a financial donation that they're in need of. There are lots of other ways that you can help your local shelter, whether that's volunteering at the shelter or collecting donations for them in the form of blankets or food. And you know, I think a great thing that happens when you help animals is that it doesn't just help animals. It helps people as well. You know, we talk to people every single day. People are calling our offices at the Humane Society of the United States, and whether they're in a financial crisis, whether they are facing a significant illness, whether they need to move suddenly for whatever reason and can't take their pet with them, you know, the welfare of their individual companion animal is of the utmost importance to them. They may not be able to fulfill that commitment. They may not be able to keep that animal any longer, but it's so important to them that they ensure a safe future for that pet. So absolutely, by helping animals, we help people because we love them. People love them. And, you know, we see this time and again, whether it's a natural disaster that comes up or, again, just a personal crisis, our companion animals are our family. And it's very important to people to make sure that they're provided for.
Stephanie Shane, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Stephanie Shane is the Humane Society of the United States Director of Outreach for Companion Animals. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.